The following podcast contains adult language and themes. Listener discretion is advised.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Since the very start of season 2, you've often heard me say this.
I do believe most of us live somewhere in the middle. Most of us are maybe left of center, right of center, and not just politically, but socially, everything. I believe most of us have far more in common than we are dissimilar.
So as we near the end of the season, we wanted to take a temperature from people around the area, throughout the state, across the country, and around the globe. Where do the majority of people stand? Do they want to bridge the divide or widen the expanse? Do all Republicans hate Democrats? Do liberals believe all conservatives are racist or evil? Is humanity doomed? Or is there hope? We ask the questions in our Going There, informal and unofficial Season 2 census. So put on some comfy walking shoes because we're going out there to the field. I'm your host, Matt, and this is the Going There podcast.
You better get comfortable, because now we're going there. Taboo topics are back on the table.
Yeah, this is a special episode. Before I talk about what it is that we're doing here today, let's introduce the panel. A very familiar face and voice to my right.
Hi, my name is Portia Brenner, and I am the co-producer of the Going There podcast.
What else do you do?
Get on Matt's nerves. No.
That's part of the role of the co-producer, yeah.
I'm also an actor, writer, and casting director.
Fantastic.
Not a good speaker, but great other things.
And the beautiful man to my left, whose voice you've heard many a times, say it loud, say it proud.
I am Joe Calley, and I am telling you, you're going there.
I love it.
This is the man. So Joe was on an episode of season one. Actually, one of the first episodes we recorded.
It's true.
And his voice has been in every single episode because he is the title guy. And he also helps come up with some creative things. And Joe, you talked about it briefly in your season one episode. You're a veteran of the voice acting community. Are you on strike right now?
No.
Okay.
It does not. That SAG-AFTRA strike does not affect voiceover.
Because you're not good enough or you're better than
I'm not good enough.
Okay. Good to know.
I'm not in California or New York.
Anyone who knows me knows how obsessed I am with Jurassic Park. And then out of the blue, he emails me, hey, I forgot I voiced this commercial. What was it? It was like the Jurassic Park 3 ride at Universal Studios. Yeah. And what?
See the movie, then live the adventure.
Then forget the movie because it's the worst of the trilogy. I think everyone can agree the best part of that film was when Grant's on the helicopter and the velociraptor is like, Alan, is that what he says? Like, he talks and he wakes up from a dream and you're like, what did we, like, you go from Steven Spielberg's amazing, like, cinematic masterpiece and then there's like a talking, anyway.
Have you gone to Universal?
I have.
To take part in the ride?
I don't know that whatever ride it was they were promoting at the, like, they may have changed the name of it.
Okay.
The one I went, so I did go on all the Jurassic Park stuff on at the LA Universal a couple of years ago.
Courtesy of your brother?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why would it be courtesy of him?
Doesn't he live out there?
Yeah, it doesn't mean he has hookups, no. Courtesy of me.
He has hookups, believe
courtesy
me.
Of me. I am a talking dinosaur. And then the Universal.
He said that himself.
And then the Universal I went to down in Florida in Orlando. The one Jurassic Park ride was down when we were there. This was years back. That may have been the original ride. But I don't know. Yeah. That's not what this topic is today. But hey, we are always fair game to talk about dinosaurs. We are always going there to the Jurassic, Triassic, and whatever other eras are in play. No, today's episode is, it's not the wrap-up of the season, but it is kind of the beginning of the conclusion of what was my and our hypothesis and thesis from the start of season two. If you guys remember, season one was kind of, one, we were just trying podcasting, and it felt like we need to connect with people. We want to put a good message out there, and we need to be talking about these things people refuse to talk about. Season two was kind of like, you know, episode four, A New Hope. Season two, it's more, I think most of us live in the middle, right or left of center. And so we wanted to kind of take an informal survey or census, if you will, to go out and ask people. And we had a really good opportunity that Portia found. And I mean, it was just pure coincidence. And what did you research and what did you find out?
I actually live in the city and have lived in Northeast Ohio my entire life. And I've never been to the Twins Day Festival, which is an annual gathering of twins and multiples from all over the world. And what better way to get a consensus other than from people who look exactly alike? Do they think alike? So I thought that was a good opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to a Twins Day?
I've never.
Do you know about it?
Yeah. I mean, I've read about it in the paper and seen the twins on TV. And, yeah. And it makes national, probably international news too.
Yeah. And so the goal wasn't necessarily let's go out and interview twins, but it was an event that was happening right here in the city that we're in, where this studio is at. It's an annual event. There was an MTV documentary that was made, I don't know, a decade or so ago, maybe even longer, about it. And a lot of people know about it. And I think it keeps growing and growing. Thousands and thousands of people come. It's great because there is nothing taboo about twins, you know, so it's not like you're going to an RNC rally to take the temperature. You're pretty sure what you're going to get there. Or if you're going to a gay pride parade, like you're pretty sure you know what you're going to get for the most part.
If you go to some websites, twins are taboo.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, we found taboo answers from twins in other ways, but we figured this was just a good place to meet people where you can get answers from folks all around the country and all around the world, which we did. And it turned out really well. High level, we wanted to know kind of where people stood. We didn't want to lead them one way or another. And we wanted to see if we were right. Are the extremists the minority, or do people in general have these extreme views? And of course, this isn't how surveys work. You don't survey 100 people and say, this represents everything. I think it was a really good summary of the general public that we started this season with. And it's because the quiet people aren't the ones stirring it up. And the loud ones are the minority, I'm telling you. That's my assumption. What was your experience?
It started out, the three of us went out and, you know, took on this endeavor and hadn't done it before. So it was a learning on our feet kind of experience. We had not applied for media passes, so it was a lot of sweet talking to a very wonderful woman who is responsible for the media connections in Twinsburg. So thank you to her. But we were able to get the media passes, and right away, you know, people were open to the idea of being interviewed. And
there were a couple of people who like started getting in line to be interviewed without even asking.
Yeah.
Like, what is this for? We're like, it's Jurassic Park 3, the ride. See the movie, take the interview.
Were you the only media doing interviews?
We were the only probably professional media
okay.
The day and the time we were there. But there were tons of photographers and cameras and stuff. You know, it was a cool idea because everyone was very curious. Like, what are you guys doing here? And the point of this show, as well as the point of those interviews, was not to lead somebody to an answer you wanted. We asked very open-ended questions and met some really fun, awesome people. So let's take a look at a few highlights here. We're here at Twins Days, which is an annual event here in Twinsburg, right down the street from our studio. Twins from all around the country, even all around the world, come here to celebrate being twins. Where do you guys live?
Columbus, Ohio.
Flint, Michigan.
And what are your names?
I'm Terrell.
Darnell.
We're from London, England.
And one of you lives here now?
I live here. I live in the States now, yeah.
I'm here with the Coors Light twins coming all the way from Illinois. Go ahead and give us your names and where you guys are from.
I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Rachel.
And we're from Illinois.
I was going to say Moline, Illinois.
We have two out-of-sync twins who've been drinking too much of the product. Coors Light, sponsoring this episode. Not really. How much swashbuckling do you do on a given week?
Well, you never know what you're going to see on the water.
Well, we did capture this Spanish galleon this morning on Lake Erie and then shrank it so I could carry it in the parade.
That's fantastic. Where are you guys from?
Jupiter, Florida. Yeah, Oswego, New York, up on Lake Ontario.
I'm from China. My name is Qing, Q-I-N-G. That means sunny.
It means sunny?
Yes.
I'm from Toledo, Ohio.
You're one of several groups of twins in your family.
Three sets my mom had.
Oh, this makes it even better. I'm so happy that Alaskans are here. You never know what answers Alaskans are going to give.
Tim, Sandusky, Ohio.
Cedar Point, best place on earth or most annoying tourist spot?
Most annoying tourist spot, yes.
My name is Delray. I'm from Cleveland.
A fellow Clevelander. I could tell from his hat.
I'm from Farrell, Pennsylvania.
And I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Well, thank you so much. Is this your first Twin Days?
No, this is our second year.
So we're here with believe it or not, an octogenarian who I thought was only 52 years old. And his twin decided he was going to direct from off camera to tell us when our answers are wrong. What's your name?
Cyrus.
Cyrus, and where do you live right now, Cyrus?
Houston, Texas.
We have a Houston Texan, and where are you from originally?
India.
Do you have twin telekinesis?
No. Well, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Hold a number behind your back right now. What's the number?
Do you want me to guess what she's holding?
Yeah.
Two. Oh, close. It was three.
Of course it's two. It's twin days. What the hell?
We still have fights, but mostly the fights are about women at the end of the day.
Yeah, we represent a super strong clothing brand. This is our t-shirts, our sunglasses, as well as our hats. And we believe in everybody being super strong in just whatever you do. You know what I mean? So it's mind, body, soul. Just if you're, you know, athletic, if you're, you know, just in the books, it's just being super strong in everything you do, what you live by. It's a way to, a lifestyle, you know what I mean?
What is the most memorable prank or stunt you've pulled as being twins?
I think in sixth grade, we switched classes. My teacher was like so mean, but hers was so nice. But our senior year of high school, I did one of her math tests for her.
Did you ever play the old switcheroo games on the guys and mess with them?
Oh yeah, we did.
We definitely did.
The guy could tell though.
Yeah.
We'd switch in classes all the time too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And our high school teacher who caught us, she had to send out a warning email to all the other teachers saying, warning, the twins are switching classes.
The royal family, bullshit?
It's good tourist money, you know.
They're lizards.
They're lizard people? Okay. I'm going to take your word for it.
I saw the ones in the paper that had like sequined outfits, gold sequined outfits. I still get a paper, I know. Did you see those?
Yeah, so the theme of this year's festival was pirates, I guess.
Okay.
And it was whatever people want. So you had people dressed up as like the baseball team. You had people dressed up as like Captain Jack Sparrow. You had a couple of groups of twins that were dressed up as like gold, like treasure.
That must have been what it was.
Mermaids.
It was
super
men and
creative.
Two women. Yeah.
Put together two like things mermaids. I did not catch on to the Pittsburgh Pirates correlation. I just thought they were from Pittsburgh. And the gold people, I had no idea, but they were, I understand now.
Yeah. There was a lot of really creative costumes. And we actually met possibly descendants of Captain Morgan. Let's take a look at that. Are you actually a captain?
I am a merchant marine captain, retired from medicine in 40 years. Now I'm a merchant marine captain at the H. Lee White Maritime Museum in Oswego, New York.
Henry Morgan is our distant cousin. We're from the same spot in Wales, so both sides of our family. So the chances are we're cousins.
I believe everything they're saying is true.
Sailor Jerry there too?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to say high level without over-explaining because showing you is much better. Almost all of my assumptions were turned on their head throughout these interviews. Portia would come up to me and say, hey, I have somebody. I'm going to let you know. I think what they're going to say is going to be very right-leaning or this person's going to be very left-leaning. And it wasn't to do anything other than just to make sure that I knew going in not to lead them one way or the other. And I'm telling you, nobody fit the mold we expected them to fit.
Yeah. And my goal was to get a variety of voices. You know, I didn't want to pick out anyone, you know, with the hopes of them saying anything in particular. I would approach them and talk to them a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
nice.
And just by their, you know, their energy, I would make the assumption.
Yeah. Good.
Pleasantly, I was surprised that I don't think many people fit the mold. There were some extreme views on issues. So let's start with what we asked them and kind of take a temperature at the table of just the three of us right now.
And as we're taping this, the controversial, most controversial day in Ohio is today.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, the timing of all of this has been great. We didn't plan this episode around the issue coming up for election. We weren't planning this around the event of Twins Days. We actually had a very different idea, and this all kind of came together, and it just worked. Joe, what you're mentioning is they're voting on an issue that is very, very divisive about the Constitution of the state of Ohio. And there's not many people who don't have a strong opinion about it. And in spirit of what this episode's about, I'm not going to share my opinion. I just hope everyone went out there and made their voices heard. The first question we asked everybody in general was what they thought America was to them. Joe, if I ask you the question, what is America to you in the simplest way that you can explain it?
Well, I may have a very unique view. To me, America is a portion of humanity. It's a player in the world game.
You are not alone in that view, even from the people we spoke with. Let's take a look at some of the answers we got out there in the field. In the fewest words possible, what is America to you?
Opportunity if you make it.
I'd say freedom and sense of community. I would also say consistency, but we're living in a time where we have increased volatility, and so it's making people question their path and their worth and their value. So we're in an interesting time in America right now.
The air, everything is very fresh.
When somebody mentions the word America, in the simplest form, what comes to mind?
Interesting.
That's a nice way of saying bullshit.
It's for the shits, I'm sorry.
America's for the shits, you heard it here.
I think we have a very unique culture. It's not homogenous at all. And I don't think a lot of like non-Americans understand that like it's super different depending on where you go. I would say non-homogenous. That's the one word I would use to sum up what she said. I agree with that.
She summed up my point.
It's a first world country. We don't have third world problems as most as other countries do. So we're pretty blessed as a country. You know, we have running water, some people, not everybody, but I'm glad that I'm born in America and not anywhere else, really.
What's the current status of everything in Flint, Michigan right now?
Well, we had the water situation, which, a lot of people are still dealing with. It's still not safe to drink the water. They say it is, but every other week there's a boiling water advisory on TV. As far as our city, you know, we just hope that the powers that be just come together and fix it, you know.
And the city was awarded over $600 million, 2 years ago? Maybe 2 years ago? And that money won't be given out probably in another 5 years after all the attorneys and everybody else get paid. People probably won't see any of that money.
What defines America to you?
Hot dogs and beer. Just kidding. Freedom.
Hot dogs and beer is still a good answer.
I think the best part about this country is our sports. We got good sports here.
America is oneness, I feel like. Like, have your own will here. I feel like it's a good thing.
I agree with her.
Do you guys agree on everything?
No.
Opportunity and freedom.
Opportunity and?
Freedom.
Freedom. Freedom's been a pretty common answer. So as you heard, like a lot of people said freedom, which of course, and I will say this, like freedom has also been a weaponized word. And we talked about that, I think all the way back in episode one of this show, of season two here. And because freedom has been weaponized and polarized by politics. But like freedom is something I think we all take for granted. Because, you know, it's easy. The people are constantly on both sides of the aisle saying, you know, that I'm being oppressed and I can't do this and this is free speech. But true free speech is a beautiful thing, and we have it. It doesn't mean no holds barred, there's no consequences from anything. But even speaking with some people from other countries, they appreciate it that much more. We, I think, as Americans, myself included, take for granted freedom. I was expecting some people to say, like, it's a people, or it's a country, or it's, you know, an eagle and flag. And, but we didn't really get that. A lot of it was about freedom, about community, about the, like, on the human level. And we got some people throughout these questions who talked about it. Like, we need to start looking at things from a global standpoint. Actually, here's one clip right here.
Despite what old lawmakers have to say, I think eventually the day will come when we will be so interconnected that we cannot isolate ourselves. And that gives me a lot of hope, because I think with that interconnectedness, there will come a wave of innovation. And I think that we will learn a lot from each other. And I think that culturally, we can learn a lot from different groups of people. I think that reliance on other people is very crucial at all aspects of society, whether that's you relying on your neighbor to like help you if you've hurt yourself, whether that's you relying on like a government aid like Medicaid or like food stamps, or whether that's countries relying on each other for trade, import and export. Reliance on each other is a good thing.
You know, from that, I take away that some of the youth, more so than, you know, people in your generation, for example, are embracing the idea of America being part of the bigger picture. Everyone wants America to be number one, and that's great. We all want to be on the winning team. We all want to be in the best place. But, you know, being number one is in context to what everybody else is doing. If everyone else is suffering, you're not really doing great either.
And, of course, technology in every facet has made it so much easier to see brothers and sisters throughout the world.
Yeah.
What is going on in other places? What happens here? Where 30 years ago, you read it in a paper, and 60 years ago, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I think the thing that struck me the most in one of the interviews was the two young men were from London, and the first, the way he, you saw the way he described America and, you know, were a joke to other countries.
And I don't necessarily know if they were saying a joke, but America is the reality show of countries right now.
Yeah.
We constantly are putting on a show. Some of it's provocative, some of it's just pure entertainment, some of it's just rot your brain garbage, and some of it is, I think some of it is inspirational. I think America America is not one thing. And that's why I wanted to know what people saw about it. Portia, you know, you heard all their answers, but what's your answer to that question?
That definition for me has changed over the years. I think, you know, 10 years ago, I saw it as freedom and free speech and a welcoming place for in a melting pot. I don't see it that way anymore. And that's because it's been weaponized. The American flag, when I see it, you know, I question whether or not that person's genuinely patriotic or if they're, you know, using that as a dog whistle to say, this is what I stand for, this is my country, instead of this is our country. So when I think of America right now, I think of division and sadness. You know, we're the United States, but we're so incredibly divided.
A lot of people agreed with you. That was one of the most common themes that I heard in the answers of our second question, which is, you know, what's one or two of the biggest challenges that we face today? And obviously for the internationals, it was from a worldview, an American view, or a community view. And those all three are in line with division. Take a look. What do you think is the biggest challenge that we face that we need to do something about for the future?
Well, we could do better as far as crime going on, more policemen, you know, around. We need more of them, if nothing else.
Disagreement, I guess.
One, freedom of speech. I think that's under attack right now. And then two is just inflation, which breeds into cost of housing, and it just has trickle-down effects that are just really bad for creating strong communities.
Some people don't have a mother or father. They live with their grandparents or their aunt and uncles, and they're not watched over properly, and they get into things.
Even when I was young, and you know, you think about certain stuff, like even it comes to like porn, for instance. When I was a kid, if I wanted to watch a porno movie, I had to sneak in, you know, Pop's room and get the VHS tape. And Well, now they can just put it on the cell phone and, you know, they got access to too much and they're so much more advanced, you know, because of the internet and phones. And so I just say, you know, parents, just know what your kids are into, know what they're doing, because it's dangerous out there.
I mean, it seems like there's a lot of division going on in America right now.
Yeah, I'd also say just the divided population right now and just, I don't know, everyone taking sides and whatnot and not being united.
Oh, gosh, too many divisions. We need to get along. We got too many categories with everybody. We're just too categorized. Yep. We're all women, men, color, ages. It's all separated. White, black. I mean, it's so separated. I wish we could all just be unified in some kind of way.
Instead of dividing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I think we would get along better.
You have to give me a different answer. That was her answer.
We need to figure out how to deal with inflation and still being fiscally responsible, and that's a challenge we face right now.
Climate change. We're going to burn, man.
Let's just say England as a country, how would you say that it leans when it comes to its view on climate change?
I'd say it's similar in terms of it's a pretty divided country, too. We just went through Brexit, all that bullshit, so it's a similar vibe. There's division everywhere.
I am very much of the opinion that, like, wealth disparity plays into like all these other issues that we have, and you look at like, you know, women's issues and minority issues, and it's like all of it eventually at some point will kind of go back to like, well, these groups are financially like stagnated, and that affects the overall quality of life.
I think we need to take better care of each other. I think greed controls most of it. Healthcare sucks. I could go on a lot of things that really kind of need to be looked at in this country. Politics. Mostly, I don't think that this country what it used to be. You know, back in the day, we fought for good things. Now we just fight for money and things that are not important.
Let people be. We are all different. We can't help being different, but that doesn't mean we are wrong. You know, just let people be. Don't tell me what I have to be. Just let me be.
You probably wouldn't be surprised to learn that everything you're saying falls in line with people from across the political spectrum that we've been talking to today. We all kind of value the same things.
But why should that be different? We're all people. Fundamentally, there's less genetic difference between human beings than there is between dogs. Dogs have more genetic difference than human beings do. We're all the same. We are people. Leave us alone to be people.
I agree. My dogs are pretty racist against other dogs, and that's a problem I've been trying to solve for a while. Well, we have a special treat. Our musician spotlight is actually right here in the studio with me right now, which is very rare and awesome. Mariama White, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here, Matt.
So tell us a little bit about what you do as an artist and a musician.
So I've been an artist. I would say I've been an artist all my life. That's who I am. I've been professional for over 20 years. I'm a singer-songwriter. I'm an actress. I do a lot of different things in the art world. So I've been recording music for a long time. I just came out with a single a few weeks ago that's doing really well called What If I Fall in Love With You.
And what's the answer to that question?
You know, it's one of those up-in-the-air questions. You know, you got to listen to the song to figure out what happens.
And maybe if you watch the rest of the season, you'll get the answer, too.
That's right.
I don't know.
You
know. So obviously the theme of this episode is kind of trying to take a temperature of where people are at. And I believe most of us live somewhere in the middle, left or right of center. Would you agree?
I would agree. I would definitely agree. I think that with so much exposure and attention on the extremes that are out there, a lot of people start believing that the world is this extreme left or right place. Now, again, there's a lot going on for sure, but I think most of us are observing, we're living our lives, and we are right in the middle. We may decide, hey, I have a little bit more stronger views this way or that way, but the extremes that we see, I think those are, although they are pretty extreme, it's not the majority.
And a lot of where you see it is on social media.
Exactly.
Can people find you on social media?
Oh, of course. You can find me everywhere. So let me spell my name because it's a very unique way to spell my name. My name is Mariama White. I am on all the social media platforms under that name. So they don't have to figure out, is she here? Is she there? Under a different name. Mariama White, M-A-R-I-A-M-A-W-H-Y-T-E.
Don't forget the Y.
Don't forget the Y. Yeah.
Probably the best way to bring people together is good music. So where else can people find you? Do you have a website? Where can they buy your music? Are you on Bandcamp?
At mariamawhite.com. So that's the best place, really, because they can sign up on my email list. I tend to share mostly everything first there and then on social media. I am on Bandcamp. Actually, the song that I just put out is on Bandcamp, and folks can download and they can buy and purchase for a dollar or more there. But all my music is there. All my music is on all the different platforms as well, too. So, yeah, Mariama White, I'm out there.
Take a listen to one of her tracks right now.
Yeah.
Portia, you bring up the phrase United States, and I think it's only of late. I wish I had paid more attention to government when I was in school, because there are days that I think, United? There's states against federal, and honestly, I think sometimes, why doesn't the federal government just do?
Yeah.
It's the mothership, right?
Yeah.
Well, think about it.
Pay attention, Joseph.
Yeah. If you think about it, we're taught about the Constitution and our rights in third grade, second grade, first grade, when we could care no less about doing anything other than sniffing glue. you know what I mean? Like,
it was paste when I was
some of us never grew out of that.
But you would think that they would want you to be older and more mature to be able to absorb those concepts. And then we wonder why democracy is what it is today.
Or is it that we're paying more attention now when we hear state legislators arguing against federal jurisdictions and things of that? I'm like, did I not just not pay attention?
I think it's symbiotic. I think the fact that the information is more easily attainable also feeds into the actions that create more of that divisiveness, and it keeps going in a circle. That's my opinion.
And I don't know about you guys, but the more and more information that's available and the more and more, should I say, abrasive opinions I see and listen to, the more and more I turn off from some of those, from most of those sources. I could care less right now about whether streaming or cable is the better way to go, or dropping because I don't watch. I don't need another stressor in my life.
And that's across the board. I, you know, am vocal about the fact that I certainly lean left. I don't want to hear news from just left-leaning sources because they—
That's not news.
They are covering things, even if they are covering, let's say, an event or a topic objectively, they're still picking and choosing what they're covering. And then when they want to be sensational, they're like, let's see what Trump's doing over there today. And it's no different than when people on the far right are screaming, like, what's Hillary doing? Like, where's her emails today? You know, where's Obama? He's surfing shirtless. What a bastard. Give me the facts. Please just give me the facts.
Can it be any other way when there's so many sources of information? How are they going to make money?
Free press.
Right.
Well, unless there's a free press. And I mean free press in the sense of unless there is some kind of media, like public radio is a dying thing. You know that. You've been in that business for a long time. There is no more like, you don't want it to be government run, but you want an independent thing that is of the service to the people. As long as journalism is a business, it will always be for profit. It will always go after sensationalism, and it will always do clickbait. And the media is largely to blame for the divisiveness.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean all media, us especially, but I don't mean all media. We did ask people where they land politically or socially. Take a look. What can you share about where you land socially or politically? Where would you say you fall?
Well, I've never, ever gotten into politics until Biden did what him and his what I call as cohorts. I've never got into politics. I've never voted because my opinion's always been, why vote when my one little opinion's not going to matter?
So was the 2020 election the first presidential election you voted in?
I still don't vote. I don't believe in it. Because after what Biden and them did, what good's my vote going to do anyway?
When you say what they did, what do you mean specifically?
Stealing all them votes that was for Trump. As I said, I've never voted. When Hillary was running, yeah, I was going to vote for her because I wanted to see a first woman president. But then after some of the things I heard that happened with her, no.
Would you agree that any politician that gets that hype in the ranks is pretty corrupt?
Oh, yeah. All politicians, in my opinion, are corrupt.
I'm critical on both parties, so it just depends on who the candidate is, and I make the best decision.
Same here. And he's my older brother, so...
He's older by how many seconds?
60 seconds.
Fantastic.
I actually don't agree with a lot of, like, the older leftist politics that we have going on in the country right now, where they... Definitely, like, I think that there's been a stagnation due to the age of a lot of Congress and, like, the Senate and just government in general.
So you're not all for having 200-year-old people in the Senate?
No, I hate it. Like, people are like, they're like, oh, do you like Biden? And I'm like, no, he's ancient.
Libertarian. So we want a gay couple to be able to defend their weed farm with machine guns.
That is the best possible answer anyone could say.
I vote, I do vote, but those people are going to do what they want to do. I put my vote on whatever I believe in and hope it counts.
Yeah, I don't see nothing ever really change as far as politics. It's just different people saying the same thing, but nothing really changes.
I never understood that, and I really don't understand Democrat, Republican, and what's the other third one?
Independent? They don't really have a third one yet.
I've never understood it, and I still don't understand it.
Where would you say you fall on the spectrum, socially, politically, any of that?
I don't fall anywhere. I fall in my own area. I don't care what people really, Republican, Democrat, whatever the hell you want to be. It's all really, like I said, it's not the same as it used to be. I mean, it makes us divided when we do things like that. It makes us have issues with one another, and I think that's kind of the problem. You know, once you have two different groups, you're choosing sides, and then you become enemies in some form of way. So it's better just to be kind of united as one and try to help each other out more than anything.
While there were some extreme kind of like takes on certain things there, nobody was like, oh, I'm a diehard Republican or I'm a diehard Democrat. I think most people were like, nah, I mean, I lean right or I lean left, but... It was nice. It was great to see that.
That is nice.
That has been our hypothesis since the very first taping of this show over a year ago, or right about 1 year ago today. That was so nice to finally get that seen and heard in action. And people were very polite, and no one was like, why are you asking me that? You know, people weren't being jerks, but they also weren't like pounding their chest being like, you know it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a pleasant surprise because I would have guessed that just being asked some of those questions would have ignited something in some of the, you know, interviewees, and it didn't.
It's a nice environment to bring it up in, too, because everyone's there to enjoy themselves.
Sure. You know, if you're at a political event, for example,
yeah, different story.
And you're going to ask people, but my point is, it's not like we were going, oh, people are going to be more friendly and not try to be divisive. We weren't trying to lead any of that. But I think it goes to show that when people are out amongst others who are different from them in the community, they embrace that sense of community. The isolation of technology and COVID has led to so much of this polarization.
Well, and the ability to be anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to kind of go back a few minutes in hearing what these British or London twins said that kind of make us feel we're the laughing stock.
He was referring to our characters. He said we have some very interesting characters.
Oh, okay.
And Matt jumped back and said, you guys do too.
Yeah, very well done.
Like, for every Donald Trump, there's a Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at what they said.
Entertaining.
Yeah, we're entertaining. Hey, I mean, you guys have some entertaining characters yourself.
Yeah, I think the characters here, there's like nowhere else in the world, just weirdos and freaks, which is my favorite thing.
You see, they weren't twins. They were just one guy who had moved over here and one who was visiting and...
just decided to take part of that festival.
I think they were trying to pick up twins, to be honest. But they had a good sense of humor.
It's not a bad strategy.
No.
Now, this was probably the most leading of questions that we had, which was I asked each person what they admire about people who think or vote differently than them. And I would say a few people may have struggled to come up with something, but I also think that's because that person doesn't exist, right? Like somebody who thinks differently than me, like what we think of them when we're in our own mind is like, oh, there's this, the boogeyman's over here and he hates me and he's coming to get me and, you know, hide your kids, hide your wives. But I think, especially when you're out amongst a community, you're like, all these people are like me. And that was kind of a beautiful thing, but we did get some different answers, but I think there seemed to be this embracing of different ideologies of people and the sense of let people live their lives. I don't want them to tell me how to live mine, and I don't want to tell them how to live theirs. It's not saying you stay over in your corner and I'll stay in mine. It was them actually saying like, I mean, you know, when you're out amongst other people and you're celebrating something, even something as simple as just being a twin, there is this amazing sense of community, of
joie de vivre.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hazuntite.
Yeah. And by the way, I hate the French. I was really happy and all the French people were there. I'm kidding. I don't hate French people, but they hate me. Let's take a look at some of the answers we got when we asked that question. What's something that you admire about people who might be different than you, who might think differently, vote differently, any of those things? What's something you might admire about them?
If they leave me alone to be who I am, that'd be admirable.
Yeah, each to their own, you know. Everyone is entitled to what they want to think. As long as it doesn't harm or interfere with anyone's life, that's truly, you know, everyone should just be able to do what they want to do.
What's something you admire about those people who think differently than you?
Nothing. I'm just kidding.
I was waiting for that. Anything that stands out with the people you've met in the country so far?
Everyone's nice, man. Everyone's welcoming. And again, I'm a white man, so that probably helps. But I think it's like, yeah, it's not as crazy out there as people make it out to be. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like people can get along from all walks of life. It's only the extremes on either end that are going to like cause a problem, I think.
Do you find where you're at right now in Texas to be kind of tumultuous with the political environment, or people divisive and at each other's throats?
When people become assholes, the world changes for the worse.
Agreed. That's why I keep telling Tyler, stop being such an asshole. That's my cameraman.
As long as people can respect each other's opinions and not dislike someone because they have a different viewpoint than another person.
I hear them. What they're saying. And
yes.
And if they believe in something, and they fight for it, they work, they do be the best at their job at whatever it might be, you know, a host or a cameraman or, you know, whatever you do, just be super strong at it. That's how I look at it. And that's how I admire people. I hang around, you know, a lot of positive people. I try to include myself around a lot of positive people.
I mean, that's how we learn inevitably at the end of the day. I love when people come to visit and they have dietary restrictions because it forces me to cook in a different manner than I'm. It forces me outside of my comfort zone. And so same thing applies to politics. Anybody that has a different view is one way we can grow expand our current knowledge and also be accepting of other people. We like to consider ourselves entrepreneurs. And I think passion is a good word that describes entrepreneurs. And that's also can be applied in this situation, whereas individuals have passion, they have a passion for a reason, and if we can figure out how to embrace that, it's gonna make the world a better place.
Portia, what do you admire about people who might not line up with your ideologies, your social or political views?
If nothing else, the fact that they are willing to, you know, stand their ground for their beliefs. You know, I find that people who are very firm in what they believe aren't easily I don't like when someone's opinion changes just because who they're in the room with. Right. I respect the fact that they don't switch coats just because I express my beliefs. So I admire that.
Yeah. Joe, same question.
I find that the people who I admire of differing thoughts, direction, are those that sit down and have a conversation about it. And that's kind of rare, not just because of subject matter, but as you said, pandemics, technology, yeah. Zoom, everything has taken some of that away. So when you sit down and someone is kind of discussing it with you, not brash or anything, just having a mind-to-mind, it's you can admire it and you can learn from it.
Yeah. What we heard a lot of people say was conviction. It's kind of like what you were saying. I'll share my thought is I think the people who, you know, again, we're talking in the middle because extremists, I admire how much coke they do. I don't know. But the people, let's say, right of center, what I admire about them is I still have an appreciation. And there is part of me that, like, I'm not just one thing. I might socially or politically lean a little more left, but I love the old school classic kind of way of thought and living where they don't get caught up in the nonsense as much, I feel like. You know, it's kind of a classic apple pie, you know, lifestyle. And they're not easily offended, but they're polite. They don't try to offend people. There's a lot of really kind people. And I was in that group, you know. I've shifted, but my values are still in that whole spectrum. And I admire people who live like that, you know. And if your ideologies and your values line up, then shit. The one term that I got probably the answers I was expecting the most on, which was Portia's addition last minute, was how you define the term woke. Let's take a look. When you hear the word woke, what does it mean to you? Is it negative? Is it a pejorative term? Is it a positive thing?
It's a very bad term, and I'm not for it.
It's more closed-minded than I think people think, because if like a super woke person is more likely to judge someone if they don't have the same exact beliefs as them, you know?
I think like woke, to me, it's a buzzword. It gets clicks on your video. Like if you put the word woke, you're going to get clicks.
Never heard of it. To me, it would be waking up in the morning or in the evening, whenever you wake up from your sleep.
I mean, I woke up this morning. That's a cool thing I can, you know, and that's a blessing that I woke up, actually. I think that's what everybody should just be blessed about. Not woke about what they come to realize, but waking up or being woke up is a blessing.
How it's being used as a movement to create change is
promotes more conflict, potentially.
Yeah, more conflict than actually solutions that are better for everyone.
The word woke has been very sensationalized, and I think that a lot of times it's used to just apply to a big group of people, like, oh, well, they are just part of like an agenda. Like a lot of times I hear it like the woke agenda or like the leftist agenda, where it's like, I think it's a lot of times used as like a labeler to dismiss people and leftist political ideas.
Well, being woke for me, you know, is just being enlightened as far as what's going on around us. You know, you got to be knowing what's going on in your community. You got to know what's going on in the world. You know, you got to know what to vote for.
You can just change the word to something else. Like, I'm tired of hearing woke. So tell people they're super strong. That's what I would say.
They're super strong.
I'm super strong. I'm not woke.
I'm super strong.
Well, that's what we're going to be.
Well, do you guys have a website?
Yeah. Right now we're going to be at superstrongbrand.com. And you can also reach us on Instagram at SuperStrongLCC.
LLC. And my Darnell Twin Jones on Facebook and Darnell Jones 613 on Instagram.
When you hear the word woke, what do you think?
I thought of this since you asked, and I am a dud. I don't know what woke is because when I hear it, it's in reference to so many different things. It's this universal adjective. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. Portia, what are your thoughts on it?
It drives me insane. I hate when someone says someone is woke because, like Joe just said, you have some people say that they're woke, which means they're conscientious and aware of what's going on. But then you have it, you know, weaponized by certain parties to say they're woke, so they're terrible. You know, it's...
But what... Yes, there's that aura, but what is it?
So I think, a figment of their imagination.
I think it was a young, hip term. I actually think it came from the Black community first. All the good terms come from the Black community, and then white people ruin them.
I love that I represent the entire Black community. He's like the Black community.
Yeah, I woke was a term that just meant like you were aware, you were enlightened, you were conscious of what was going on. Essentially, the polar opposite of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance means the world's great, I live in my bubble, I don't give a shit what you do. Woke is like, there's some racial disparities here, there's this. It's been weaponized by both sides because the left, the extreme left is doing things that are getting classified as woke that I think are misrepresented of what the word originally meant, where they're like, everything's offensive to everybody.
Honestly, I would not have known that that was the origin.
Yeah. And then the right took it and weaponized it.
Because I see it as a negative adjective, and what you just described is a positive.
Because it's both, or maybe it's neither.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's just
because the left
descriptor
has weaponized it too. Because mm-hmm. by saying that they're woke, they're insinuating that the other side is, you know, asleep. I guess
yes,
is the opposite.
Yes. Deadbeat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and unaware.
Yeah.
My favorite.
They're just higher class insulters. They insult on a higher level.
Yeah, well, and you know, you hear that to some degree because if they don't call it woke, often it's the elites. So there is an association with that. You're good to put those two together.
It just is a term that actually no longer has meaning because we've muddied it so much.
Well, good. Then I don't feel bad for not knowing exactly what
No, actually, we talked to somebody who essentially had the same point of view that you did, but he knew a little bit more of the history. And this was one of my favorite people that we talked to the whole day. And he was a great surprise because of where he lived in Ohio is, I think, more of a red area. It's more right-leaning. And I was actually expecting and hoping he was going to be like, you know, these hippie liberal assholes. He maybe had the best answer to that question. Let's take a look here. What does that mean to you? Is it good or bad? Is it a joke? Is it a straw man? What would you say?
I think everybody has their different opinions of woke. I think it depends on what you think is woke. Some people think it's woke when it comes to politics or, you know, church or whatever it may be. I guess it just depends on what you're talking to me about woke is. Then I would have my opinion on it because it can mean so many different things.
I agreed so much that I hurt my neck. I'm like, because he was great.
The guy was fantastic.
Where was he from?
Sandusky.
Sandusky. Oh, because of Cedar Point?
Yeah.
Because he said he lived, yeah.
Before you go on, do you any of you use the term woke in conversation?
No.
Or ever?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
It's weird. It's...
Portia and Matt, it's kind of thrown as a weapon now.
That's all it is. It was originally like what your generation might use the word hip. But like, you know, if you would say somebody was hip... That's like pretty much the same
thing.
He's
only 7 years younger.
Joe,
yeah.
Joe's a young man. He's a sexy young man. You know, as we hear all these people talk about division and how we need to get together, I think we need to start looking at things and stop painting everything so negatively. Why are you throwing barbs? Why are you saying, oh, this is woke? You know, you have a man in Florida who's going after Disney and all of these monsters. And the thing is, if he was actually trying to do it because there was a moral or ethical implication and it was going to help the state, then by all means. But it is literally a political stunt to say, I'm going to take out the woke. So the thing about woke is the right is constantly bashing the woke, who don't really exist other than on the extreme left, who are acting like they represent everybody who's even close to left of center, and they don't. And then These companies want to profit from it, so they market to this crowd that does not exist. And so they make these movies that the right goes, this is bullshit, this is woke. And the rest of us are going, no, I mean, we kind of agree. Let's stop using that term. Let's just say, like, yeah, they're trying to advertise to people because they do believe that everyone who leans left just absolutely 100% is like, every, like, white people
check
are bad.
Box.
Yeah, let's check all these boxes. So, so when they're like, go woke, go broke, it's like, actually, we could all get on the same page with that, but you got to stop using it as a weapon. Otherwise, we're never, you know, we're never going to be able to meet there, because then you're like, well, wait, do you like drag queens? It's like, I have no issue with drag queens. Why are we talking about drag queens? Is that what's important? People are getting shot daily in this country, and we're talking about fucking drag queens.
Yeah. And that governor in Florida, whose name I won't even say, think about it. Woke is supposed to mean well-informed and aware. He has created this hate for woke as he's banning books. He wants his base to be less informed, because when you're less informed, you don't have as much control. You can't exercise your rights you don't know you have.
Under the guise of morality.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all of the wonderful things that have happened throughout history under the guise of God and morality. Yes. The point I want to make is, as somebody who leans left, to those of you out there who you got tricked into watching this show and you lean right, whatever it is. Actually, we have a lot of people listen who lean right. And I always joke about that. But the reality is, most of the people on the other side of that center mark agree with you. But when we start it with, well, fuck everybody in this camp, it's never going to work. If we want the division to end, each of us has to stop going out with that prejudice. Even the prejudice I had in myself for an entertainment purpose, but went out there myself going, oh, this person's going to say this, and getting answers that I was not expecting.
We have to stop thinking so black and white. So few people realize that there are gray areas to everything. And I think democracy has almost become like a sporting event. And you've got one team or the other team, and there's going to always be a loser. You know, there is no
and
draw.
Everything has to be filtered through it anymore.
Yeah. And it's not the teams you think you're fighting on. It's the haves and the have-nots, or the, you know, the able or the unable. Like, it's not what they are putting on in political theater.
You know, a few years ago, an acquaintance of mine who is a stockbroker, during a lunch or something, explained to me that he had to tell a lot of his clients, you can't legislate morality when, whether it's politics or venture capitalism or whatever it is, you can't. And at first I thought, what in the hell are you talking about? You know, and now it just keeps coming back to me again and again and again. And I thought, he was onto something. He really is. You can keep it, but yeah, you can't force it. You can't legislate it.
Not just that, but one person's morality isn't everyone's
morality.
That's correct,
yeah.
And that's what the idea of separation of church and state were all founded on. And I don't think a lot of people understand where that came from. And there's a lot of people trying to tear it down. And they're like, our founding fathers didn't want that. It was one of the founding fathers who wrote the letter about the first time it was ever quoted about the separation of church and state and why that wall between the two was so important. They had just left religious persecution, mm-hmm, religious control. And everyone goes, yeah, but we're a Christian nation. Well, yeah, but let's say a new regime comes in. Are you going to be happy if we become a Muslim nation, a Jewish nation, a Scientologist nation? Like, as you're saying, you can't legislate morality. More than that, morality is supposed to be the balance to everything that the country is. Because the country is all these great things, but it's up to the will of the people. Capitalism, whenever there is a profit to be had, human life and value will always come underneath. The dollar will always win out. So you cannot say capitalism is God's way. There's a person who has a sign in the yard down the road. Socialism is against God and country. If you don't agree with socialism, that's great. To say it's against God is finances are morally neutral. It's what people do with the money. And capitalism time after time after time, has made people do immoral things. The Ford Pinto was killing people. You guys know this story?
I don't.
Do you not know this? I feel like I've said this on the show. The Ford Pinto was known to have issues, and it was like exploding on impact and killing people. The Ford company went to their lawyers, did the math, and the lawyers said, we'll actually lose more money if we do a recall than if we just get sued by all the people who are injured or killed from it. So as the most capitalist view that you can possibly take on an action, human life came well below. Instead of warning people that, hey, this is a problem, we're going to do a recall, and our country wasn't prepared for that. You know, we were still, you know, in that unknown time of how capitalism and consumerism and all this stuff was working. And it was like, can you try a corporation as a criminal? And so that's my point. That's what will happen every time. And you have some of the most capitalist, right-leaning Republican people from this country and others who admit healthcare, as long as it is done as a free market system, it will never work. Because the whole point of healthcare is to value the person. And capitalism will always go for the dollar. Trickle-down economics do not work. Reaganomics did not work. I mean, there's points of it that did, for sure. Like, I'll sit here and say, like, my point is, if you're on the right and you're hearing someone on the left talking about free healthcare, because healthcare, good healthcare is something we all want, don't immediately assume they're a socialist and they're a Marxist and they're trying to dismantle the government that you love and care about. We all care about the freedom and all of the liberties that we have.
I think all of us could use a good educated lesson in what is socialism, what is fascism, what is communism, what is capitalism.
We could all use education across the board. And so I guess what I would say from my standpoint, and this is not left or right leaning, I've always believed this, anyone trying to block you from accessing information is not your friend.
And one of the biggest divisions in our country is race. And we would all be lying to ourselves if we said that color doesn't matter. But it's not black or white or brown. It's green. If we really stepped back and saw, I'm not talking Oscar the Grouch or the green little spaceman.
It's a lizard. Wait.
But no, you know, we're distracted, you know, being pit against each other. But the truth is, it's all about money. You could be whatever color you want. If you don't fall into a certain tax bracket, you matter a lot less than others. So, yeah, color is a big problem, but it's the color green.
And even if you look and vote differently than me, even if we can't agree on social issues, I still want you to have the same information that I have. I still want you to have access to the healthcare you need. I still want your grandmother to get her insulin. I still want your kids to be fed and educated in school. And I do not think there's many people who are standing there going, I only want all of these things for my team.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us want the same thing, and we want it for each other too. Can we please find a way to get on the same page?
And I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying money is evil.
No.
I think the people who are governing the money are selfish, and we need to get rid of special interests and lobbyists and things like that. Because as long as people with money decide who gets money, things will never be balanced.
It's just how.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that we typically ended with in the survey was, what gives you hope about the future? And let's take a look.
Let's go there.
What gives you hope for the future?
The good in humanity, I think, will show through, hopefully, eventually. The media wants to sort of push it out and divide, but at the end of the day, humans are good. Humans are bad, but they're good as well.
There's been like this big AI art boom, and at first I was really depressed about it. But it's like, and then I see like all these artists and like other people supporting artists and like buying artwork and like taking time to like actively be like, oh, I don't like AI art. Like, that's soulless. Like, I want the real like art with like the real creatives behind it.
Having a vibrant community, it goes back to kind of what you were talking about, is just bringing people together with different ideas, different thoughts, and that's America. Somehow we have to still create value and still build community together at the same time.
Yeah, my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews, my family, my granddaughter who's supposed to meet me here.
I mean, I think there's still some good people out there that that will help bring it all together. I mean, maybe they're just not as outspoken as some of the crazies right now, so everyone's just kind of seeing all the crazy people. But I think there's still a lot of good people that'll help get us through the next couple of years.
Yeah, I would agree. Just, you know, people who just want to be united and have everyone united, I think that'll get us through it as well.
Our kids. My,
oh, yes.
Our kids.
We both have boys.
They're very talented, creative, intelligent. And
yep.
They just love life still, and they are just flourishing. They're doing so good. And I think our kids give us hope because I feel like they're going to be they'll be able to survive in this, you know, life, even with all the stuff coming at us. I think they'll be able to survive.
Hopefully they don't follow in the footsteps of what's going on now. Hopefully, hate to use this word, hopefully they wake up to the realization that you got to help each other out.
The one thing you said, I think everybody across the aisle agrees, like family is important. We might see family differently, our families might vote differently, think differently, but we all know that we care about the people close to us, and that should be what brings us together.
People do. There's people out there who don't give a crap about no one but themselves.
Those are called politicians.
There you go.
The next election will define what hope for the country means. Then ask me that question. We will know in 2024 what hope means.
And unfortunately, that means I have to wait for like the 2025 Twins days to catch up with you. And you will be back for that, correct?
2025 is 2 years away. If I'm still alive, I'll be considering it, okay?
All right, we're going to hold you to that. Thank you very much.
Take care, my friend.
So before we wrap up, what gives you guys hope about the future? I'm sure I've asked this to you many times because we talk about it almost every episode. And that's been my point, is every time we talk about these controversial subjects, they're typically things that we're divided on. But that doesn't mean there's no hope. It just means we got to fix it. What gives you hope?
That there is intelligent life out there somewhere. No.
Actually, that's not a bad answer. It's not saying there's none here.
Yeah.
But it's saying
there's hope beyond us.
If there's got to be hope beyond this planet. Because the human race will maybe outlive the planet.
What gives me the most hope is seeing that the younger generation, my kids' generation, they're very aware, or woke, as some people would say, about climate.
They're awake.
You know, they're concerned about healthcare. Yeah. They are acutely aware of the fact that they are getting ready to inherit a dumpster fire. So I have hope that they will do what, you know, our generation and the generation before us haven't done yet.
Joe, what about you? What gives you hope?
I get hope from seeing examples of kindness, of generosity, of just, I guess, what I'd call doing the right thing from young people or from anybody's age group, but I especially like to see it in the youngsters. It's almost surprising and it's welcoming.
I'll tell you what gave me hope was this experience at this place, talking to all these people from around the world, around the country. It gave me hope, not because it was like, yeah, I was right. It gave me hope because it was like, that's what I've been saying it, and it's been a hope. It's been, I hope deep down inside me that this is true, and it is, and it was rewarded. When faith is rewarded, it's such an amazing feeling. And then I woke up the next morning and found $130 in my pocket that I have no idea where it came from pants I hadn't put on in like 2 months.
That was my money.
Oh,
remember,
shit.
I had you hold it.
Oh, it's the green people. So it's green people.
It's the green people.
Someone, you did a reverse pickpocket. Hawkman! Well, we're going to go out and show a nice little montage of some of the other stuff that we haven't covered, but what gives me hope is you being a nice friend and subscribing and going to thegoingtherepodcast.com, checking out all of our socials and interacting with us. Give us your feedback. Tell us what your answers to these questions are. And in the meantime, do something to connect with somebody you wouldn't normally connect with. You might just be pleasantly surprised. We'll see you next time. Ted Lasso, bullshit or a good show?
Never seen it. I watched 2 episodes. So.
Called it utter rubbish. Rubbish. Bullshit.
Anything you could probably think of two twins doing, we probably did.
Cops, arrests. I had a warrant one time. I got stopped by the police, and he didn't. And didn't have a license or nothing, so I just gave him his name, and they looked him up, and everything came back cool. The picture, and let me go.
Did you guys buy these at Dan Flash's? Have you heard of Dan Flash?
I'm not.
Son of a bitch. Very last thing. You put numbers behind your back this time, and you guess. Ready?
I'm going to guess 4.
These aren't real twins. This was a sham.
We have been run by a communist country ever since they killed the Kennedy brothers. That tells you how old I am.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how awesome do you think I am?
I don't live with you, so I couldn't tell you, but I think what you're doing is, it's important to ask people questions, find out where they're at, maybe give them something to think about.
Is there any TV show that you are binging right now that you are just hooked on?
I just refinished watching Suits.
Has anyone ever said you kind of resemble Meghan Markle?
Yes, I have gotten that.
I have gotten that too.
Do you know how to say hello?
I don't know how to say it.
你好.
你好?
Yes, great.
你好. 谢谢.
Oh, you know 谢谢. Yeah, thank you.
谢谢.
I love Manifest. Oh, that is the bomb. You have to watch the whole thing. I mean, from beginning to end. It's awesome.
Manifest.
It's totally awesome.
Maybe but I watch a lot of TV. Watching that.
I like All American.
All American.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's my favorite show ever. I like Too Hot to Handle.
Is that a reality show?
It's like a dating one. Like, yeah, it is a reality one, yeah.
The weed laws in Michigan, good or bad?
Great. Yeah, we'd be blazing up right now if we were in Michigan.
We'd be smoking right now.
There's so many twins out there to have sex with, that's filling me with hope.
He's looking to fill some twins with hope.
Lots of hope.
From 1 to 10, I'll give you a 6. I'll give you a 6. Fuck that, I don't know you. What do you rate me at, 1 from 10?
3.
3? See, that double fuck you. Look at that. That's bullshit. Oh, yeah, right there. Now I'll make you pick it up.
And what's your favorite sport of all the sports?
Football.
Are you a Browns fan? Are you a masochist like the rest of us?
I'm not a Browns fan.
What? Okay, so what's your favorite team?
The Steelers.
All right, this interview's over. Thank you.
Find me at mariamawhite.com, MARIAMAWHYTE, on Bandcamp, on Instagram, YouTube, on LinkedIn, all the socials. Go ahead and enjoy that. What if I fall in love with you? And what if you fall in love with my music? Hey.
This podcast is made possible by its hosts and Frame One Media in association with Joe Calley and Bobby Thomas.